And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just saving the world one soundbite at a time. Well, I gotta self-correct myself a little bit. I just looked up on the screen. Earlier in the show, I talked about the fact that, and I said Secretary of Labor Gina Raimondo of the Biden administration was not even familiar with a report that downgraded the jobs report in a big way. She's the Commerce Secretary, not the Secretary of Labor. My fault. But still, she's the Commerce Secretary. That puts her in a cabinet-level position, and she didn't even realize that the Bureau of Labor Statistics had just downgraded the report about how well things were going. They're not going well. All right, election integrity. I'm doing this number three on the Triple Dipper here. I kind of kicked it off a minute ago right before the break. Let me just tell you, there's been a few. So here's the thing. This is a fluid environment. Election integrity is being challenged in some places, enhanced in others. Several new stories have come out that clearly indicate this fight is ongoing. It is. If you think for a second we're done, you're wrong. You're fooling yourself. Here's a piece from the Daily Wire, Dateline 2 days ago. In a major victory for the GOP, a Pennsylvania judge has upheld a decision from the Butler County Board of Elections in Pennsylvania that bars voters, quote, curing their defective mail-in ballots. They call them naked ballots. Because here's the thing. What they're doing is this. The Pennsylvania Secretary of State was just taking it upon himself to give people a chance to fix ballots that were not done correctly. It doesn't work that way. The law is very specific. The law says if you do a mail-in ballot, it has to be included, it has to be sealed inside of what they call a secrecy envelope, an inner secrecy. So it's got the big outer mailing envelope. It's got an inner secrecy envelope. So that way they can unpackage them without tainting the vote until it's time to count them. People have been mailing them in incorrectly. People are mailing them in at times without the inner secrecy ballot envelope. Well, that protects the ballot itself. It keeps it from being, you know, in any way disturbed, marked up, seen for that matter. And believe it or not, the Secretary of State has been trying to call people and give them a chance to go to the polls and vote again because their ballot didn't work right and they want to make sure they have a chance to cure it. And that's a violation of the state law. I mean, remember, Pennsylvania during the 2020 election was one of the hotbeds of how not to do it. The Republican Party in Pennsylvania has stood up on the issue. They said, to be clear, there is no right under Pennsylvania law to cure mail-in ballots if they lack the secrecy envelope, and petitioners' attempt to try and create such a right where none exists has to be rejected. Because what happened was the Secretary of State was going after the issue and saying, I absolutely can do this. You can't stop me. I'm the secretary. Don't you know who I am? Anyway, Judge Michael Yeager, to his credit, he said, quote, it is the voter's burden to ensure they have completed the steps necessary for their mail-in ballot to be included. And he rejected the idea that you're allowed to cure a bad ballot. That's a win because Pennsylvania has been just having the Secretary of State in Pennsylvania has been having his way for a while now. And the truth be told, it's needed. You have to stay on your even in places like Pennsylvania, which is part of the blue wall for Democrats. Even in Pennsylvania, the Republican Party can still make waves and try to make sure that they can't get away with this. Here's another one. This story broke right as I was going on the air. I had to grab this one at the last second, get it in a form where I could highlight it and do some work with it. Ohio's Secretary of State's office has referred 138 non-U.S. citizens to the state attorneys general. Really? Why? Because they have identified illegal aliens who were voting. I thought that didn't happen. Well, apparently it does. The move comes, it says, as part of a months-long audit of the state voter rolls by Secretary Frank LaRose, Secretary of State Frank LaRose for Ohio. They have purged hundreds of other non-citizens from the state voter registration earlier this year. His words, I am duty-bound to make sure people who have not yet earned citizenship in this country do not vote in our elections. We have so far, he says, identified 597 individuals who registered to vote despite not being citizens as required by our state constitution. And oh, by the way, of that 597, it appears that 138 of them actually did cast a ballot. That's a violation of state law. He's now referred all those names to the Attorney General for potential prosecution. I don't know if they'll be prosecuted. I'm sure the AG's office has plenty going on. But the reality is, LaRose is doing his job. By the way, they also purged the voter rolls in Ohio. Purged them of what they call abandoned or inactive accounts, like people who are dead, people who are in prison, people who have moved. 155,000 names were removed from the voter rolls in Ohio. 155,000. So not only is he prosecuting people who are trying to vote when they're not citizens, he's getting rid of people who aren't supposed to be able to vote at all because they're not citizens. And then, oh, by the way, he's also purging the rolls of inactive names. That's huge. I thought Alabama had it going on. I've got this story. We talked to Secretary of State Wes Allen recently, but you know, Alabama, we purged like 3,200 non-citizens. They just clipped out 155,000 people up there in Ohio. By the way, Ohio and Alabama, we were the two states that said, Democrats, if you can't possibly do your conference in time, you won't be on our ballot. Alabama went ahead and did the nice, and we passed a legislative fix and let them work with it for this year. Ohio said, no, thank you. You're not going to be on the ballot. Sorry, Dems. That's why Kamala had to get voted in by Zoom. All right, we got more of this. Election integrity, it matters. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.
And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one, I'm talking about Alabama, y'all. And I mean to say, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. Hey, by the way, I got to remind you guys again, please hear this. I'm about to give you something free. You ready? Inspire Advisors, one of our newest advertisers. Inspire Advisors. Look, this is so cool. So I know this audience. I know what kind of people you are. You're the kind of folks that stand up for what you believe in. You care about things. You're also, a lot of you out there doing everything you can to set aside for your future and maybe your retirement plans. And maybe you manage your own plan or somebody else does it for you, but you may be shocked to find out that things you're investing in may actually be going to things that you don't believe in or you actually are opposed to. Happens all the time. You might be investing in companies that support abortion or pornography or even human trafficking issues. All that to say, Inspire Advisors, Paul Breyer and his team at Inspire Advisors, they are epic good at what is known as biblical responsible investing. Biblically responsible investing, BRI. It's a thing. If you want to know more about BRI, they'll sit down with you for free, take a look at it, no fuss, no muss. They'll show you what's in your portfolio, talk about some biblically aligned alternatives that are out there instead that can still help your bottom line. Go to their website, check it out, Inspire Advisors at www.moneypatternwealth.com. That's moneypatternwealth.com, or just go to our website, rightsidemedia.org. Go to the Right Side Radio Sponsors tab, click on their logo, takes you right to their website. But yeah, Inspire Advisors, y'all. Conservative, godly, balanced. It's financial freedom is what it is. Check them out. Back on this thing about election integrity. I mean, you've got Ohio is now prosecuting illegals that were on the roll who voted illegally. Oh, Phil, it's only 138 across the whole state. What's your point? Phil, there's only been a few bank robberies. We're going to go after all those. What's your point? Anyway, what I'm saying is this. I'm glad Ohio is taking a firm stance. They're not only purging their rolls, they're also auditing their rolls, finding out that there are illegals that have currently, they found almost 600 illegals or non-citizens that are on their rolls. They chose to purge them, and then they found out that 138 of them have already voted, and they're referring them for prosecution. In Alabama, we tend to run a pretty tight ship, although I'm about to give you a story here in a minute that tells me we could be a little bit better. But one of the things that happened is our own Secretary of State, Wes Allen,
has received a letter demanding that he stop purging the roles the way I just described.
Yeah, that's right. You just listen.
Anyway, coalition of liberal groups sent a letter demanding that he retract his new policy of removing non-citizens from the roles. Why? Why? What's the usual suspects, by the way? ACLU, Southern Poverty Law Center, the Alabama Values Progress, the Appleseed Alabama. Are they in there too, Appleseed? No, they're not this time. How about that? Alabama's NAACP, the Legal Defense Fund. It's ridiculous. They are literally saying, don't you take those non-citizens off our voter rolls. Why? Allen announced that his office had recently identified 3,251 non-citizens on the state rolls and had instructed all the boards of registrars to inactivate and initiate steps necessary to remove them. Great. But the coalition argues, the coalition of liberal interest groups argues, Allen's requirement for the now naturalized citizens violates the National Voting Rights Act limitations on proof of citizenship. No, it doesn't. Not at all. Allen told 1819 News he would not bow down to activist demands. Good for you, Mr. Secretary. But what I am surprised at is to find out that as tight as we run this ship for elections in Alabama, and we do, I was proud to be in the state Senate when we passed the voter ID laws. And they were like, well, you can't do that. It's racist. And how many racist complaints have we had since then? That'd be none. Doing it for a decade now. How about that? State Representative, though, Debbie Wood, who's a state rep, a Republican from down in Valley near Auburn, she's bringing a bill in the next legislative session that would require something called a post-election audit. My first thought was, don't we already do that? And the answer is no. And I did not know this. Not only that, I did not know that there's only two states in the nation that don't do a post-election audit, and one of them's Alabama. That bothers me. We don't mandate a post-election audit. What that basically means is you run the numbers and you compare the tapes. They call them the tapes. They come out of the machines. That all the tapes are what we tally from. But you still have the actual ballots because they're boxed up and they're sealed a certain way. And then after you go 31 days, if for 31 days, by state law, you're allowed to challenge an election. Oh, I thought we couldn't do that. I thought that was election denialism. No, I'm sorry. It's law. If you see something wrong and you think you've got legal grounds to challenge it, you can. You've got a month after an election to file your legal election challenge. But once that month has passed, her bill would then say, and now we audit to make sure things are good. And not like something you could have appealed. I'm just saying count ballots, physically count the physical ballots, and you compare them to the tapes and make sure things came together the way they were supposed to. That's just too much common sense. Like, why don't we already do that? And I don't have an answer for you. I'm a little shocked that we don't already. And I'm even more shocked that it's just us in New Hampshire that don't do it now. Everybody else already does. Even states like Arizona and Pennsylvania and Georgia, where we question the ballot integrity, they do a post-election audit. Why don't we? Well, I say pass this bill. I mean, it's too easy. I don't know yet. I haven't heard whether the Secretary of State's going to back this bill as being something necessary. I'm sure there's a cost involved, and everything that has cost, you know, gets scrutinized, and it should. But all it literally says is, we will do an audit 31 days after the election to make sure that everything is safe. Debbie Woods, Representative Wood, said, we have a responsibility to assure every vote counts. And the ones that should not be there are not going to count. So if we're going to claim we have the safest election, she said, because we're using paper ballots, then we need to be checking the machines. I don't disagree. Not to be outdone, Texas is getting busy. Attorney General Ken Paxton just announced yesterday through his office that he is launching an investigation into reports that there are organizations who are illegally registering people, non-citizens, to vote. It's like it never ends, y'all. And by the way, it never ends. Just so in case you were wondering, it never ends. Cheaters going to cheat, haters going to hate. They're going to find a way around, right? And so you got to stay on your toes. I am so glad they're doing this. So right now, Ohio is referring people to prosecution. Pennsylvania is winning in court and making sure the Secretary of State can't get away with monkeying around with trying to, quote unquote, cure ballots. Alabama is resisting the notion that we have to stop purging our rolls. And Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton is now investigating reports that there are groups who are setting up booths outside of their DMV offices and catching people on the way out the door to so-called get them registered to vote. But he points out, in conjunction with the Motor Voter Act, we already have that taken care of inside. So it calls into question the motives of these so-called nonprofit groups that are setting up booths outside. What is it they're doing? Are they electioneering? Are they registering non-citizens? That's what it appears. In his words, he thinks that they're taking non-citizens who just got a driver's license or a picture ID, catching them on the way out the door and going, hey, we'll sign you up over here. Can't do it. Can't do it. Well, the Washington Examiner ran a piece just a couple weeks ago, fact-checking the question of whether or not Democrats are trying to give illegal immigrants the right to vote. Huh. The question is, are some Democrats trying to give illegal immigrants the right to vote? Story came out on August 1st. This is a couple years old. But they point out the law saying that's not allowed. You're right, it's not. And yet, as far back as 2018, it says in some localities, certain undocumented immigrants are allowed to vote for particular elections. Like San Francisco allows illegals to vote in their local elections. But what that means is they have to get them registered to vote. What that also means is it taints the overall voter pool. Several towns and cities in Maryland allow non-citizens to vote as well, like College Park, which is the largest U.S. municipality to let undocumented migrants vote in municipal elections since 2017. Really? It's just a local election, Phil. Why do you care? We have a right to set our standards and our laws. Okay, but you took the time to get them registered to vote, which means they are now in the process. And you have to wonder, how well are you shepherding those roles when they arrive on the days they're not allowed to vote? And then I go back to, why are you doing this at all? Because if they are not citizens, why are they voting? Well, because they're here, Phil. That's important. No, it's really not. Because the constitutional liberties that are preserved for the U.S. citizens to vote do not contemplate the idea that people can fly in from out of state, out of country, for that matter, out of love, out of no love for our country, and vote in our elections. It shouldn't be that way. This is not rocket science. I did not sleep at a Holiday Inn Express last night, but I do know for a fact that the vote should count, and it should count for those who are allowed to vote, period, by law. All right, Big Rig, take me to a break, man. We're going to come right back from that break. I'll get a few text messages and wrap things up. Got go-home time on a Turbo Thursday. We're getting you all the way to Fri-yay. Yes, indeed. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. So, listen, I gotta remind you guys, we had apparently a bunch of hits on the website yesterday. It may be because the latest edition of the Right Philosophy video podcast is now out. That comes out every Wednesday, and then the Right Click video podcast comes out on Fridays. So the latest edition of Right Philosophy came out yesterday. This one's called Don't Bend the Knee. I'd encourage y'all to check it out. You go to rightsidemedia.org. And find it right there on our website under the podcast tab. Both Right Click and Right Philosophy are the first two in a series of video podcasts that we're doing. So in case you're not familiar to our website, we'll explain it all, but Right Side Media is the actual company. You guys know us as Right Side Radio because that's a big part of what we do, but we're more than radio. I mean, we are now a media company. We got the written word goes out. There's a op-ed that I write that gets picked up by about 18 different outlets around the region every week. There's two video podcasts. There's the podcast of the show itself. We take every day's live radio show and put it up there in podcast form, and that one's just about to hit 250,000 downloads. And then we're just growing. Anyway, it's because of y'all, and we appreciate it very more than you could possibly know. But yeah, check out the podcast at rightsidemedia.org. Right Philosophy is out as of yesterday again, and Right Click comes out again tomorrow. The grades are already in. Big Rig, Wolverine Dan gets an A+ for his awesome phone call. Big Rig gets an A++ for his fantastic performance. Phil's overall, I knew he'd do this. He says, Phil's overall performance was spectacular. However, there were a minor 2-point deduction for saying something about Seinfeld. And there was one other small 2-point deduction, which means that you and Big Rig are today's co-champions with an A++. Congratulations. He said, I'm also hoping that RFK's announcement tomorrow goes Trump's way. Nice.
Well, at least we both won.
There you go. I'd like to know what my other 2-point deduction was, though. Maybe he didn't want to say. I don't know. Anyway, what do I do with that? Thank you, John. Appreciate you. He made mention of something that I think is key. We've got tomorrow a press conference that I'm going to be looking to see how this goes. And it may be around the time that we're on the air. So we'll be updating you as it goes. But Robert F. Kennedy Jr., RFK Jr., who is the independent running for president, RFK Jr., is holding a press conference tomorrow. There is reason to believe that he has been negotiating with the Trump campaign to drop his own race and endorse Trump. You may look at it and go, why does that matter to me? He's RFK Jr. He's not a Republican, or he's not even truly a conservative. Kind of crazy thing is, he would be a moderate Democrat / centrist. He's an independent now because Democrats wouldn't let him run. So I have no ideological reason to believe that he's suddenly become a conservative. He hasn't. That's not the thing. That's not happening. What I do know is he has aspects of his resume that are fairly conservative. He is absolutely against big pharma and COVID vaccines, mandates and all of that. And he would love the opportunity to clean house on some of that stuff. He is also absolutely 100% adamantly someone who believes in honest government and would love to champion some of that issue. So the question is there a role that Trump can find for him? Is he going to drop out tomorrow and hand his endorsement over to Trump? What would that mean in the big picture? Well, here's the deal. Dude's polling at 8%. 8%. Phil, he can't win with 8%. Yeah, but we're running a tight race between Kamala Harris and Donald Trump. So if his 8%, if 6% of that goes to Trump, that's an immediate bump in the polls for the Trump side. So I guarantee you that there are phone calls going to the RFK camp right now from both sides. Don't do it. Do it. Come on. We'll love you. We'll find a job for you. We'll make you one of our own. We'll find out tomorrow. Or he may just go down the whole, I dropped out and I'm not endorsing anybody, although I doubt it. I think he wants a place. I think he wants a role. Marcus from Huntsville says, I was stationed in Germany for 3.5 years. I was not allowed to vote in any of their elections. Care to guess why? He said, if they want non-citizens to vote, why don't we just send a ballot out globally? Let everybody else decide what happens in our country. In my humble opinion, there's already too much of that going on without them actually voting. Marcus, first of all, thanks for your service, and you are absolutely correct. I mean, sure, let's just mail ballots to China, see how that goes. Why not? TL from Huntsville, state election integrity is vitally important. But tell everyone not to get discouraged about negative news from states who are bending the rules. Trump can still win the Electoral College, even if he doesn't win the popular vote. That might be tangled in unverified ballots. Also, he says, for woke world, did you notice how many times DNC speeches replace common phrases like you and your family instead with you and the ones you love? Wow, I had not noticed that. But I have no doubt, traditional families on the outs with them, right? Brian from Huntsville says, Jack Daniels dropped DEI when Gentleman Jack tried to enter the women's division. Good play, sir. Danny from Pinhook, Alabama says, I think we all need to have faith and be patient. The truth will stand. Not truth, not your truth, but the truth. Goodbye, wokeness. There you have it. A couple more in here. Susan from Elkmont and my lovely Charlene both texting me in to make sure that I see the state of Oregon is giving away $30,000 for new home purchases, but you can't be an American citizen to get it. Go figure, Oregon. Oregon is like competing with California for wokeness. All right, listen. You guys are an amazing audience. It's Turbo Thursday. You're going all the way to Friday. Tomorrow we're going to play the Turbo Thursday. No, sorry, the Fri-yay sound effect, because you're going to hit that moment when the weekend's about to start. But in the meantime, just know this. There are, in fact, more of us than there are of them. God is still on his throne. Stay in the fight. We'll see you tomorrow.